I'm John Keel, and this is WUSB Stony Brook.
Ministry of Truth.
All rise. Thank you very much. That's the USB Royal Philharmonic, and my, they certainly are inspirational. Good evening to you. This is the Ministry of Truth. I'm Eric Corley, here with you for an hour, and we can talk about just about anything that comes to mind, and there are certainly a lot of things to talk about. Our telephone number is coming up right here on the computer. Let me just punch it up.
516-246-7901.
I'm glad she's back. Oh, yes. That's our telephone number, 516-246-7901. And feel free to talk about anything. We can talk about the Olympics, the Russians not going to the Olympics. Isn't that something? I'm kind of shocked about that. Kind of put off a little bit, too. For the last five or so Olympics, politics have reigned supreme. It's pretty funny. Actually, it's not funny at all. I had an interesting week. Yeah, I did something last Saturday that I never did before, and up until recently didn't really think I'd ever do again. They have these things on Long Island called whale watches. What you do is you go out to Montauk Point, way out to Montauk Point, early in the morning, and you catch a boat run by these people who do nothing but watch whales all the time and play with them and fix them when they're broken and all that kind of thing. And Frank is furiously scribbling. Interesting. Okay. We have interesting people on the telephone. 246-7901. If I could continue with my story without all these people crowding around. Thank you. I was one of the people, one of about, I guess, 50 or 60 people who went out last Saturday to look at these whales. You know, you take a boat out, and you stay out for about 6 hours or so, and it's nice. You look at all the flora and fauna. You see dolphins, you see birds, you see the occasional whale and things like that. It was a rough day, let's put it that way. It was rather windy, and people weren't quite sure how they were going to respond to this. I didn't think there would be any problem. I thought things would be very peachy keen. Well, here's what happened. We got out to this boat at about 10 o'clock in the morning, and it started out. It looked nice, you know, everyone was happy, walking all over the boat, looking out at the sea, looking at other boats, looking at seagulls, looking at the sky, taking pictures. Then we got out into the real sea. I don't know if anyone out there has ever been to the real sea. It's not like the Long Island Sound. It's like the ocean. It's there. It's permanent. It's always there. And it was very, very bouncy. So here we were, going out onto the high seas, the bouncy high seas that were extraordinarily bouncy that day for some reason. I guess it had something to do with the wind. And a couple of people naturally didn't feel very comfortable in that kind of environment. The term I suppose you would call is seasick. Yes, seasick, that's the word. There are pills you take for that kind of thing, and they were advised to take those pills before they started. Those people who had who usually get sick when they go out on boats. I wasn't one of them. I never have been. And most people on the boat were perfectly seaworthy people, if you know what I mean. Well, it seems that this was the day that was an exception to all the other days. And I first started feeling kind of strange as I was sitting on this deck listening to the captain giving a lecture about all the different whales we were going to see that day. He was pointing out this bird that flew by, this Arctic bird, which was very interesting. And he was talking about what the whales would do when we saw them and what we should say to them and what we shouldn't do. And it was all very new and exciting, but he had us all sit on the front deck. And if you're on a boat, the front deck is the part that gets the water first and was bouncing the most and rising up and down. So here we all were sitting on this deck, looking at this captain and bouncing up and down and up and down. Well, I don't know about everyone else, but I started feeling strange. I had just had lunch, too, to add to things, and I could feel it bouncing around inside me. So I said, hey, I can pass up the lecture on whales. I think I'm going to go to the back of the boat, sit down for a little while, and just, you know, take things easy. Well, I went to the back of the boat, sat down for a little while, and hung out, you know. And one of my friends came up to me a little while later and said, you know, all kinds of people are throwing up all over the boat. All kinds! Young, old, black, white, everything. They're all, oh, it's amazing. And he was into it, and I was saying, gee whiz, that certainly is interesting. And that's when I first started to feel a little bit of panic. A little bit of panic, because, you know, this kind of thing happening, all you have to do is catch sight of one person, and the same thing happens to you. And I didn't want that to happen, so I just sort of buried my hands in my arms on this table, this inside table. And just sort of like concentrated, come on, Eric, you're not going to get sick on a boat. Nope. It's just not your style. You're going to sit down, be calm, be cool, collected, see whales, be happy. Well, about an hour passed, and I realized I wasn't feeling any better. It just kept getting worse. One by one, people I knew came up to me and said, I just threw up over the side of the deck, and it felt great. And that kind of talk didn't help, because it made it feel so inevitable that something like that was going to happen. Well, it finally did. Yes, it finally did when one person came up to me and said, you know, Eric, you really should go to the side of the deck and relieve yourself, because you'll feel so much better afterwards. For some reason, when people talk about things like that, it's all the harder to keep things bottled up inside you, and I, at that moment, found it impossible. So I shoved the person aside and just ran over to the spot that was designated as mine and joined this whole line of people ringing the boat who were just... Well, I can just picture somebody with binoculars from another boat looking at this one and seeing a line of at least 10 people all in harmony together doing their things over the side of the boat, getting sick over the side of the boat. And it was really very strange. For about 3 hours straight, everybody either was very aware of this or was participating in it themselves. It put everything in a different perspective. When you're with somebody, when you're in, say, a crowded mall or something, and someone gets sick in the middle of the mall, it's generally thought of as a disgusting thing. You know, everyone tries to stay away from it. But when everybody around you is getting sick, and there's just maybe one or two people who aren't, it puts the whole thing in a different perspective. It's something to do. It's something to get involved in. It's not disgusting. It's you know, you compare episodes. You know, you compare how many times it happened to you, what it felt like, how much agony were you in, and it becomes a great conversation piece, and people would just, like, hang out and talk about it, and they say, oh, excuse me a second, blah, over the side of the boat, come back and say, hey, well, you know, that one felt a little bit better. It was an experience to be had. Now, needless to say, well, not needless to say, actually, but in addition, we didn't see any whales, but nobody cared, because we were all so happy just to get back to the shore and a non-rocking land area. It was interesting, very interesting. For those who are really interested in this kind of thing, whale watches take place almost every day, so I might even be going on another one, I hear. I don't know. If the sea is like that, though, I don't think I'm going to participate. It's a very interesting experience. Any of you guys ever have that happen to you?
No, I just wanted to ask, the captain was telling you what you should say to whales. What do you say to whales?
Well, you generally shy away from the, you know, from obscenities, because they do get upset. And they're highly intelligent creatures, so it's important to treat them as such. Not to just treat them as little whales bobbing up out of the sea, because these are whales, you know? Whales.
Why treat whales like
name the
whales.
Country after these guys. So that's, it would have been easier if we had seen one, I suppose. But it was fun. I mean, I'm not saying it was a bad experience. It was an interesting experience. I can't believe it happened, which is why I'm talking about it now. It's just so strange.
Eric, do they
say... be on a boat like that with all these people who are doing... Oh, it's just... I mean, it's rather disgusting, I know, for those who weren't there, but for someone who was there, it puts the whole thing in a different light.
You're part of the experience.
Yeah, you had to be there. You know, you had to.
Now that we're finished with the cliches.
It was just so
groovy. Did the captain say, do they say, like, does every whale watch boat that goes out see a whale, or do they see, like, a whale
they
every
said,
three boats?
They said the chances of us seeing a whale are, like, 90 to 95%. So we beat the odds by not seeing one.
Hmm.
I think the odds of everybody getting massively sick the way they did was even less than not seeing a whale. What's that, Lister?
How long you stayed out there?
We were out there... Okay, that's the good part. We were out there for 6 hours. Now, I first started feeling bad around 1 hour into it. Really bad. And just knowing that you have 5 hours to go, and you can't do a thing about it, and you're going to be feeling that bad the whole time, it was complete agony. It really was.
Okay, do what, man? You wouldn't feel that bad.
I don't know. I was looking for a newspaper. I think, you know, concentrating on anything would have helped.
Yeah.
Anything else. But I tried meditation. I tried everything. It was agony.
Well, maybe that's why the waves didn't show up too much vomit in the water, you know?
It was pretty disgusting looking when we looked into it. And I pity any boat that just happened to go by later on. Pretty strange. Or any whales that were in the area. I know why they didn't show themselves.
They're pretty smart.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, enough said about that. Our telephone number is 246-7901. I think someone was on hold that whole time, and they eventually gave up. Oh, well. It's just a story that had to be told, you know? It doesn't happen all that often. It was quite an experience. Let's have one of our friends come in and tell the phone number for us.
5-1-6-2-4-6-7-9-0-1.
We can talk about the Olympics. Yes, we were mentioning the Olympics before and how the Soviet Union has backed out of them. They're saying they're not boycotting them. I don't know what it is if it's not a boycott. It sounds like a boycott to me. They say we're not going to come. We're not going to show up for the Olympics. And, you know, we're not going to boycott them. But it sure sounds like one very similar to the one that the United States was involved in 1980. And... this is probably just revenge for that. Then again, there could be some concern about possible terrorist acts in Los Angeles against communist-type people. Anything's possible, but one thing is for sure...
Lyndon LaRouche will be there.
Lyndon LaRouche will probably be there, but the thing I was referring to was the fact that, well... I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, my God. What's happening?
The fact that I was...
What was I going to say?
The fact that...
Yeah. I got up to that. The fact that... I guess the Olympics have become a political event. That must be it. Yeah. The Olympics have become a political event. There's no questioning that. I mean, even when people just root for their home country, it's, you know, they're doing it because of nationalism. It's kind of sick, actually. But that's the way the Olympics are. And there are some people who want to bring them back to Greece because that's where they started. What do you think of that idea?
It sounds greasy to me.
Yeah.
No, but they're going to end up having two Olympics, with one Olympic having more faster times than the other.
Well, there's going to be an Iron Curtain Olympics. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Iron Curtain ones for all the people who...
No, there's going to be the Iron Curtain Olympics, and then there's going to be the Coca-Cola Olympics.
Yeah, that's true.
Then maybe the Sandinista Olympics.
Right.
And all kinds of good Olympics. Well, weren't we going to do something like that in 1980? We said we'd have some sort of a replacement Olympics for...
Well, I think the one in Los Angeles is a replacement.
That was hype from Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, that was hype from Jimmy Carter. Now, he said there'd be something in 1980.
84, which is this one.
Well, yeah, that's this one, but there was supposed to be something to replace the one we missed.
He was a little bit ahead of his time.
A bit, yes.
Slightly.
Okay, I've heard rumors. I didn't want to say this over the air, but I have heard rumors that...
Then it's no longer a rumor.
Not if I say it, it's not.
Okay, this is hearsay now.
Go ahead.
No, it's heresy,
no,
actually.
Was say.
Jesse Jackson is going to go to the Soviet Union and get the Russians to come to the Olympics. What do you think of that?
No, Jesse Jackson went to the Russian embassy.
Oh.
Today.
Oh. Where?
Spoke to Anatoly in Washington.
Gave them a Thriller album, too.
Not Michael Jackson, Jesse Jackson.
No, he's too busy.
Yeah.
Where are the phone callers?
Somebody's making an outbound call on our inbound line, which is a pretty silly thing to do.
I think someone called in to speak on the show, and they're talking to Frank now.
Uh-huh. No, I don't think that's true. 246-7901, that's our phone number. Please, wake up after I told you that story. I know it's probably put you to sleep.
I guess this person wants to go
on. Okay, we got a call here. Let's see what's going on. Hello, USB, you're on the air.
Hi, Eric?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Andrew. Two things came to mind when you brought this whole thing up. First, the whole idea of how modern Olympics are probably dead.
Uh-huh.
From what I hear, you know. And we can all... from what I've heard, people are saying we can attribute it to Jimmy Carter. So I was just wondering what you guys were thinking about that.
What, blame this on Jimmy Carter's boycott?
Yeah, essentially that our only action to in a protest of invasion of Afghanistan was to boycott Olympics in 80. And, you know, of course the Russians are angry at us. They were economically destroyed. That we destroyed their Moscow Olympics in 1980.
Uh-huh.
So why don't they just, like, you know, do it to us and not show up for our Olympics?
There's a difference. We have insurance.
Because we have insurance.
Well, it was, at the time that we boycotted the Olympics, I thought it was really pretty stupid to do that, because the Olympics aren't supposed to have anything to do with politics in the first place.
Right. We've been doing it. I mean, it's been politics.
We've been condemning, when the African nations boycotted it a few years back, we condemned that because we said, oh, the Olympics should never be considered a political arena. But it seems that there are exceptions to that. When something bothers us, okay, then we can use it as a political tool.
I mean, we even did it before the Africans pulled out. In 1968, when, I don't remember the name of the two athletes, two black athletes, one in New Mexico.
Yeah,
golden bronze medals. And they held up this fist in black power symbol.
Uh-huh.
The U.S. Olympic Committee stripped them of their medals.
Yeah.
Threw them off the team. So, I mean, we've been doing it all along. And to me, it's just like the death toll of the Olympics.
Well, are you saying that what those two athletes did was a United States gesture?
No, what I'm saying is that they made a personal gesture, uh-huh, and we made something political out of it. The government made something political out of it.
They blacklisted them.
I see.
I don't know if you're following what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand.
And it's coming down to the point where Olympics cannot go without politics.
Well, only because you have all these countries, and they're being represented as countries. How else can you categorize?
If they didn't have any name tags stuck to their backs, then it would be a great Olympics.
What else can we do? How can we not categorize people by country? What can we categorize them by? How can they compete?
Height.
height? That's that's interesting.
I mean, but then you're going to get prejudiced that way. Well, that's
I'd like to get prejudiced that way. I'd like to have short people and tall people hitting each other.
Yeah, but taller than most people.
It would be very refreshing, you know? Or by age, perhaps, 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds. Maybe that's a bit young.
Mm-hmm.
But
I just also heard this evening, you mentioned Jesse Jackson before, that he intends to go to Moscow to try to convince the Soviet officials to send a team here.
Uh-huh.
Who does he think he is? I mean, he
I don't
did
know.
A really wonderful job getting that pilot back who was shot down, what, Syria?
Yeah.
Yeah. He did a really wonderful job. But the situation's a bit different, and he's convinced that he's this... And I'm not condemning Jesse Jackson as a human being, I just think he's overdoing it. And I was wondering what you guys think about his attempt to go over there to talk them into coming over.
Well, you have to understand that anything that Jesse does is part of an election campaign.
Right.
Anything, you know, saying hello to somebody. It's all calculated, as it is with any politician. I can't take him seriously. I can't take anyone seriously who's got something so, you know, who's got so much to gain. Mm-hmm. If he had dropped out of the election and he was still doing that, then I would know that he was speaking from his heart. I'm not saying he's not speaking from his heart.
Right.
No.
Well, I also heard that the head of the Los Angeles Olympic Committee is also planning on meeting the Soviets.
Okay, that I can take a bit more seriously.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, that's what I heard, and I was going to take that a lot more seriously also. But I don't believe that they're going to come here at all. I mean, they have said outright, there's no way we're coming.
Well, they have until June 2nd, I believe, to decide once and for all.
Yeah, but what was it, on Nightline last night or two nights ago, they said, no way.
Uh-huh.
They said, don't even bother talking to us, we're not coming.
Uh-huh.
I'm just attributing the destruction of the modern Olympics as we know it to Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering what you guys... about that because
I don't know, you know, first of all, the president is never the one person who does everything. He's told by millions of people what to do. He's given advice all the time. You can't blame it on one person, but you can blame the action.
Okay.
The action certainly didn't help. It wasn't anything new. It's mm-hmm. Things like that have been done a lot.
Well, I think he gave lots of credibility to exactly what the Russians are doing, and they're exercising their rights, that's all.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, to me it makes logical sense.
Yeah.
One thing leads to the next. I mean, look at the attitude of the Americas versus Nicaragua in the World Court. I mean, as long as the cards are not stacked in their favor, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
same
well,
thing.
We are breaking,
I mean,
know,
if Nicaragua
rules.
Was supposed to mine... the Los Angeles Harbor, and America started to sue them in the World Court.
I'd like to see, I wouldn't like to see that, but I would like to see that because it would be interesting to see the reaction if Nicaragua suddenly started mining, you know, Los Angeles or New York or something. Just, you know, tit for tat. It's,
It'd be great. Well, did you hear the World Court today announced, like, decided that we were guilty?
Uh-huh.
And said that we're bad people and we should stop mining.
Uh-huh.
And stop sending money to the Contras.
Yeah.
But we've pulled out of the... I mean, I hear in the news the U.S. has decided to pull out of the World Court. Number one, I didn't decide. It was the administration decided.
You didn't decide?
No. I was opposed to that opinion. No one asked me.
They must have missed you.
Yeah, I guess I was busy that day.
You're watching TV that day.
But
we get a call over here?
We knew this decision that they were going to give us, so we pulled out because we didn't want to deal with what they were going to do to us. They were going to slap us on the back of the hand, so we didn't want to deal with it, so we pulled out.
That's true. That's all they were going to do.
They had no backbone.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. You know, there's no law that governs the world.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, it could be kind of rough to have a world-governing body. I don't think we're ready for it yet. The question I have, though, is whether we can survive until we are ready for it. If we can, then I guess it'll be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we are trying. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're really getting off the point of the Olympics.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have tried world governments before, and the UN is this fun little game that they like to play in New York.
Uh-huh.
So, which is very far from the Olympics.
Do you want to see the Russians change their mind?
No, actually, I'm very happy they did it.
Why?
Why? Because we did it to them, why shouldn't they do it to us?
You mean two wrongs make a right?
No.
Then what?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's probably just coming from an emotional response on my part. There is a valid argument that they may be in danger. I mean, anti-communist sentiment is so strong in this country, it's probably the strongest it's ever been since the McCarthy era.
Anti-communism?
So I wouldn't want to be a Soviet delegate walking into this country saying, hi, I'm a Soviet.
Okay, you said anti-communism, but our president just got back from one of the biggest communist countries there is. In fact, the biggest communist country there is.
That's true, but who was it? Jesse Helms said, in reference to Reagan's trip to China, I really don't think he wants to, and I really don't think it's a good idea, but I guess it's about time we have to recognize them.
As people.
As people in, like, one quarter of the world's population.
Uh-huh.
So is it a matter of he doesn't like communists, or he just has to recognize that there's a tremendous U.S. market in China?
Uh-huh.
You know, who is he doing it for? Is he doing it for the benefit of China, or is he doing it for the benefit of the United States?
He's doing it for, the benefit of the United States. Pepsi Cola and Coca-Cola.
Of course.
Sell him some.
I mean, he's not trying to promote world peace.
Well, there's megabucks to be made, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's not trying to promote world peace in any way, shape, or form by going to China.
Uh-huh. Well, sir, thanks for calling us and sharing all these opinions with us.
Sure thing.
And enjoy the Olympics, what's left of them.
Okay, thank you.
See ya. 246-7901 is our phone number, or as the computer says,
516-246-7901.
She says it so much better. USB, you're on the air.
Yeah, I kind of thought that the Russians would pull out of the Olympics because of the Americans, how they pulled out. But the weird thing about it is what Reagan said, that Reagan made a comment about when the Greek states fought, they gave up the wars to have their Olympics, but the Russians wouldn't.
Uh-huh.
But the Afghanistans, when they were in Afghanistan and Carter pulled out, you know, Reagan just made a, you know, bad comment there, I thought.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think the Russians should get back into the Olympics, because all the people in the Olympics now will just be non-professional. They'll all be, you know, they won't be the pros that the Russians are and these Germans.
So it's not fair that they that they're at a higher level than we are. Is that what you're saying?
Hello, I can't hear you.
Oh, I think you've got a lot of noise in back of you. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
I can't hear you. It's probably hear you.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if. You obviously think it's unfair that the Eastern Bloc countries have a much higher level of professionalism. Well, not professionalism, but amateur sports are equivalent to our professional sports, is what you're saying.
Oh, of course. I think it is unfair. When our hockey team plays there, it's just not that, you know, it's just not fair. They should put the Islanders in against them, you know?
Do you think it's fair, though, that we pay our professional athletes such extraordinary amounts of money and the Eastern Bloc countries don't pay their athletes anything?
Well, I think it's fair. It's just two different ideologies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but all the American athletes, I mean, like...
just lost you. I can't hear you anymore.
No, let me point this out. The American athletes, right, they're all subsidized by Nike and all those big sneaker corporations and things like that. I have a cousin who's jumping for Canada, right? And he's probably the third best high jumper. He's jumping for Canada.
Uh-huh.
Like when he was down in Jamaica, you know, they never gave him anything. And now he's in Canada. He gets all these shoes. He can travel all over the United States.
Well, yeah.
He subsidizes his education, everything. So that's like pay.
You know? Become a walking commercial.
Yeah, and plus they have a job lined up for him, a very, very good job lined up for him, so whenever he gets out of that situation, it's all his.
Do you think that's good?
Well, I don't know if it's good or bad. I just know that it's necessary for them to survive, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Somebody's going to have to subsidize something.
That's true, but... at what cost to your freedom? You know, if you have to walk around saying, God, I love Coke, can't live without it, aren't you sacrificing something of your own individuality to be, you know, to have to say that all the time?
Well, I don't think there's any alternative to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at all the money that has gone into the ABC TV selling of the Olympics, right? And look at all the panic that's going on because... the Russians just pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know, I think it's kind of funny. I like to see big mega things get totally messed up. It just shows that, you know, they don't have ultimate control like they think they do. Everything's turned into a media event. You know, presidential assassinations is a media event. Olympics and elections and everything. It's all, you know.
I think they should
got to be right there. Commercial time.
I think they should
time.
Put Mr. Rogers in charge of it.
You can talk about anything you want to talk about, I guess. So you don't have to just talk about the Olympics. If you had an interesting week or something unusual is happening or something interesting is happening, by all means, give us a call. 246-7901. USB, you're on the air.
Hi, Eric.
Yeah.
Hi, I want to talk about the Olympics. I just tuned into your show.
Go right ahead.
That's the theme for today?
Well, not exactly, but it's one of the topics. Go
okay,
ahead.
Well, I was reading this tabloid today called New York Post.
Uh-huh.
And... I tend not to believe it at times, but it had a shocking article about Jesse Jackson. He's going to meet with Russian officials and try and get them to join the Olympics, a la getting Lieutenant Goodman out of the Middle East.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anything about this?
Well, we did talk about it a little while ago. He allegedly went to the Russian embassy, the Soviet embassy in Washington, and tried to convince them to come back to the Olympics, and I don't know if it was successful. I don't even know if it's over yet.
You heard about Jesse Jackson, didn't you?
I didn't read about it myself, but I heard
I was
about
thinking,
it.
I was thinking maybe Russia will join the Olympics because they want preferably Jesse Jackson to win, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, if he can get them to join the Olympics, Jesse Jackson look like a hero in America and get all these votes again.
You think that the Soviets want Jesse Jackson to win?
Oh, over Reagan, of course, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This way it could be a whole like conspiracy.
Do they want him over Mondale, over Hart?
Sure.
How come?
Why would they want Jesse Jackson over those people?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Jesse Jackson would be someone who is willing to speak with them, willing to work towards world peace, you know?
Uh-huh.
He's not like a typical politician, it seems, who's like very anti-communist.
Uh-huh.
From
what do you think about that that friend of his who says all these horrible things? I don't know his name. I keep forgetting his name.
I forget his name as well.
The Muslim spokesman who threatens lives of people who say nasty things about Jesse Jackson.
Right. I don't know. I don't really know what their relationship actually is.
Uh-huh.
Then Jesse Jackson talks about going to Nicaragua, right?
Yeah. Did you see the president's speech last night?
No.
Oh, did you hear anything about it?
Very little. Why?
Well, I'd just like to know because it was concerning Nicaragua primarily, and he said some rather interesting things. I didn't hear it myself, but I've heard a couple of things about it. And if someone wants to call up and outline some of the points he made and whether or not he's right or wrong, please feel free to do so.
Okay, can I talk real quickly about something else?
Yeah, go ahead.
I had this weird experience last weekend.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. Yeah, go ahead.
Out in Montauk Point.
Uh-huh.
And I started going out, having a good time. I had lunch, right? And we were supposed to see whales. And right about half an hour later, this captain's giving this talk about how we're going to see whales.
Yeah.
And I was getting a little nauseous.
Uh-huh.
Trying to put it with the rocking. Right, and this little kid, I don't know if I can say this on the air, but this little kid starts to puke, right?
You can't say that over the air.
Okay.
Because it's disgusting. I can't even believe you're talking about this over the air. It's really... Ew.
Well, this is not... Well, maybe I shouldn't... Well, let me... I'll try and clear it up. This little kid, like, has to...
We know what happened to the little kid. You've already told us. You don't have to tell us again in nicer language. Just get to the next part of the story,
right,
if at all possible.
This whaling trip, we're all out looking for whales. This is the only kid, so never mind. Right, but it's all these adults, and I was beginning to think that maybe this kid is like, is gonna, you know, because he's so small, seasickness would affect him before everybody else. And about half an hour later, it turned out to be correct. Because
he's so small? Is that some sort of scientific reason?
Of course.
Why?
Well, he was eating, and I like the seasickness affected him before it affected adults. That's just the way things are.
I see, okay.
Okay, so I'm just... after a while, I begin to feel sick, and I look around, some of my friends are feeling sick, and then it's like I'm in the middle of a stampede. All these people are running around me to get to the edge of the boat. Now, you probably don't believe this story, but...
I don't see how I can believe this story. This sounds so incredible.
I'm telling the truth, Eric, I swear. All of a sudden, these people start to... let me think of a night. Wretch. Overboard.
Can't say that word either.
Well, what's a good word?
I don't know, and I can't really think of one on the spot like this.
Well,
none of them are nice words. That's why they describe that particular thing.
Be sick as a...
That's the nicest one, I guess, even though it's not...
Okay, well, I was beginning to feel like I could be sick.
Uh-huh.
I walk towards the side, right? And then I hear people talking about how they were sick, and I'm beginning to get sicker.
Uh-huh.
Then I decide that I have to go up to the rail now in case it hits me real fast.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen your picture around, and... In order for me to get myself to be sick, I figured I would watch other people being sick. And I took to my right, and there you were.
There I was?
I don't know. I started with you. I've seen you on campus, and there you were.
Well,
were you on that phone?
I don't recall.
No, I must have been starting to look like you.
It's kind of hard to know who's next to you during a moment like that. I didn't know that, you know, anyone was waiting for me to give them inspiration or something.
You were on that boat?
I don't know. I don't know how many whaling boats were out last Saturday with people throwing up on them. There might have been a few, you know. We could have been mistaken, you know. It could have been another one.
Well, in any case, I mean, that's how I had to do it. You have to, like, watch someone being sick in order for yourself. I know, I got so sick right after that. Anyway, after that, we all, like, decked out on this one, there's one part of the boat which was swimming, and everyone just collapsed. It looked like a real, like, 50 dead bodies.
Oh, you just were lying down. Yeah, I've heard that from a couple of people, that it's, you just had to be there to know what this meant.
It was not enjoyable. I'm looking forward to going out again.
You feel a lot closer to people when you throw up with them.
Oh,
you just do. You know, because you feel like you're sort of like dying together almost, and that brings people together.
Yeah, seriously, I really did. That's why I don't really plan on washing any of those clothes. I'm going to wear them again for the next trip.
Uh-huh. You going on another trip?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I swore when I got off that boat I would never go near one again, but I'm beginning to have second thoughts. I mean, it couldn't be that bad again. They said it was never that bad before. Who knows?
I don't really like land too much now. It's just too flat.
Yeah.
So I plan on going as much as I can.
Look, thanks for calling and sharing all these wonderful stories with us.
Okay, sure. I hope I see you again.
Okay, take care. Oh, boy. You can give us a call at USB 246-7901, area code 516. I might mention at this point, in case anyone... We have been talking about whaling expeditions. Not whaling expeditions, but whale watches. You don't go out with harpoons and shoot them. You just look at them. If anyone is interested in doing that, I understand a couple of them are being organized, and you might want to call up one of the groups responsible for it, which is Environmental Action here at Stony Brook. You can call them at 246-7088. You can call them now. You can call them at 3 o'clock in the morning because they have an answering machine, and it works, too. So if you're interested, just leave your name and phone number and stuff like that, and perhaps they'll get back to you. Well, 246-7901 is our phone number, and we are taking calls up until 7 o'clock about just about anything under the sky. USB, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to know if you'd like to talk about your further adventures with the government.
Well, actually, I really am not in a position to do that now for obvious reasons. I guess I should say, though, for anyone that doesn't know what that means, that all the details are in Tuesday's Newsday, and... I can't really say anything else at this point.
When do you think you'll be able to talk about it?
When things start hitting fans, if you know what I mean. Basically, at that point, suffice to say that I feel happy now. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, though. And thanks to everybody who's been calling me with support recently. It's really nice to hear that. USB, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay, I'm fine.
Well, this is serious. All that disgusting banter was going on, I was seeing people around me getting nauseous. And
you were on the boat too?
No.
Oh.
Crazy?
I don't know. I just
people
think
the
whole boat is
they were
gone.
Sort of grabbing their stomachs and everything. And I think it's indicative of the problem with the Olympics too. And I think the real problem is that
I got to hand it to you for trying to do what you're doing, tying these two things together, and I wish you luck. Go ahead.
Moscow is afraid to go to the Olympics. They are wimps. That's it.
They're afraid?
All the people on the boat throwing up were wimps, too. That is the tie. I think this world is becoming incredibly wimpy, and there's only a few elites left.
And you're one of them.
Well, I was keeping it all down while listening to the radio, yes.
Keeping it all down. Okay, very interesting. You mean people talking about throwing up on the radio make other people sick? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you should have seen the people in the room. They were turning green.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We'll try to curb our
I guess it was a power suggestion that the two callers ago person was talking about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was rather graphic, I guess.
And so I think Moscow is afraid to lose.
Oh, I thought you meant they were afraid to throw up or something when they got here.
No, they're afraid to lose the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not getting the right number of medals, that's all.
Oh, that's never bothered them before. But then again, they didn't face the United States last time, so maybe...
Yeah, but remember what happened before? They lost the Winter Olympics?
Well, not this year.
To the Summer Olympics?
They lost
remember our hockey team killed them?
Yeah, but not this year. Who won this year? Was it East Germany or something like that?
Neither one won.
I don't know. Somebody won.
They didn't want to lose face again.
Well, they certainly picked a great way of doing
it. They're lily-livered.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if any people from the Russian embassy are listening. I would hope so. In fact, I was thinking of calling them.
I think they are because they monitor everything on the island, from their little home in Glencove,
Yes, the spy station or whatever you might call that. I think, I don't want to suggest this, but it might be a good idea.
They listen to Grumman and everything. Now.
It might be a good idea for people to give a call to their local Russian embassy, and if they want them to go to the Olympics, say, please, go to the Olympics. We won't, shoot you and stuff like that.
I'm not going to call them.
You don't want them to come?
Well, I don't think they're going anyway. All those people said that they on TV, they said they're not going
to
go.
But if there was the possibility, would you want them to?
Nah, who wants to see them at the Olympics anyway, wearing all their red uniforms?
Well, it's a nice reflection on everything else. You need to see other sides represented.
Well, I mean, they got all those Czechoslovakians anyway.
Have you ever seen a communist, sir?
On campus here.
You have?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if they're communists or socialists. It's all the same.
Well, yes, to an extent, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, they're all fascists.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks for this most enlightening discussion on the world and everything, and I guess, enjoy the Olympics when they're on ABC.
Well, they're going to be real good now.
Yeah, they will be.
Especially after an 8-year wait.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, good thing they got rid of that Carter guy, too.
Did we broadcast the Olympics last time? When we
Why
weren't
would
in
we
them?
Do that? I'm sure you could buy it on video cassette.
That's right, we didn't. We just assumed that nobody would be interested if the United States wasn't in it. Aha! Uh-huh. There you go, it is nationalism.
Like whoever put in the bucks, they had insurance, and so they didn't care.
The United States isn't interested in world competition. They're interested in U.S. competition
in
U.S. world.
Currency, man.
Yeah.
The best kind.
Yes, some say so. Well, thanks for calling again.
Well, I only called once.
Well, I thanked you twice. So you're two ahead. 2467901. That's our phone number. Area code 516. This is the Ministry of Truth. We've got 15 minutes left to talk about. We don't have to just talk about the Russians and getting sick on boats, It's a big world out there. We can talk about anything that comes to mind. There's all kinds of great things. In fact, I've just been reminded that Curtain Up is coming up at 7 o'clock, and that's something to look forward to as well. You can talk about that. You can talk about anything, and you can reach us.
516-2467901.
That's our phone number, and the lines are open, wide open now. There is nobody on the lines. I'm looking at them. They're just not they're open. I mean, there's nothing there. So the first person who calls up will definitely get on the air. I mean, what other station can give you that guarantee? Most stations, you have to listen to a ringing phone for hours and hours. Sometimes you wonder if you dialed the wrong number. You don't want to hang up and try again because you think if you dial the right number, someone else will grab your space in the time that you're taking to dial it again. Other times they put you on hold after they answer and they let you wait there for about 40 minutes, which is bad because then you have to pay for the call, even though you're not talking to anybody. If you're lucky, you'll hear a little click or something, or muzak, or things like that. But sometimes you just hear silence. It's horrible. Anyway, 246-7901 is our phone number. We have call screeners that will interrogate you and say horrible, nasty things. But once you get past them, you make it over here. And that's an experience that everybody should have at least once in their lives. Somebody's on hold now, and that means, USB, you're on the air.
Hello, I was just about to eat dinner, and I was listening to you on the radio. I thought I'd make a comment on your little Olympic debate going on tonight.
Well, okay, it's not really a debate, but go ahead.
It sounded like a debate when I listened to the last caller, but, well, the Afghan people in the United States, they didn't really have anything against Carter's boycott of the Olympics. As a matter of fact, they thought that was just about the only thing that the United States did to reply to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
And they thought it was a valid kind of response.
Who's this, the Afghan people?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Great many of them. There are a lot of Afghan refugees in New York, too.
Yeah. Well, now, do you think that this is being done by the Soviet Union just as a response to this, or are they genuinely in fear for their security over there?
I think there's more politics involved in it than that. I think part of it was the fact that the U.S. replied that, well, they would take no measures to see that the Soviet team was safeguarded from possible terrorist activities.
Who said that?
I think the president said that.
Our president said we're not going to take any security precautions?
No, special precautions. I think they wanted some sort of special treatment because of these threats.
Yeah. Well, I think that's certainly warranted because there is a lot of anti-Soviet fervor around lately. Tell me, what do you think is going to happen in 1988 when they're held in South Korea, of all places?
In South Korea?
Yeah. It's as if somebody plans these things. I mean, South Korea, the one nation that the Soviet Union shot down a plane from, they have to have the Olympics over there next time.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting run of coincidences.
Why not something like Chad or, you know?
In South Korea.
Yeah.
But, listen, I could listen to the whale talk and I'm still going to eat dinner.
Oh, see? It's possible. Yeah, you must have
In fact, I think I'm going to eat dinner right now.
Okay, you do that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Some people have a strong stomach, you know, they can take this kind of stuff. They can take talking about the Olympics and about whales and things like that. But 1988 should be very interesting because Korea is, you know, it's a hotbed. Lots of places are hotbeds in the world today. Korea, the Middle East, the Southeast, the Northeast, everything is a hotbed. So no matter where you put the Olympics, you're going to have trouble. Even Los Angeles. Even happy old Los Angeles. That's right. 246-7901 is our phone number. I would like to hear from some more people about what Mr. Reagan said last night about Nicaragua and how our country is in such trouble because of all these communists down in Central America that are moving up. I wonder why Mexico isn't more worried than we are. Does anyone ever wonder about that? I mean, they're closer to these countries that are falling under dominoes or whatever, and they don't seem overly concerned. They're not pouring millions of dollars into defense. Maybe they don't have millions of dollars for it, but still they're not voicing any concerns. I'd like to know why. And I'd also like to know just what's going on down there from all kinds of interesting people. 246-7901. Excuse me, that's our number. And while we're waiting for calls, I'd like to read the weather. Yes, the weather. Tonight, it will be clear with lows in the mid to upper 40s, winds becoming southwest to south around 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow morning, sunshine, then becoming partly cloudy with a 30% chance of a shower in the evening. High will be in the mid to upper 60s, and the outlook for Saturday, mostly sunny, seasonably mild. And when you read the weather, you always get calls. USB, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. We were talking about the Olympics and the boycott.
Uh-huh.
The
the U.S. Olympics, yeah, let me try this again, the U.S. boycotting the 1980 Olympics because of the invasion of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just something came to mind when you were talking about that. Something that many people in this country did not know is that when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, it was only to replace, you see, there was originally a pro-Soviet government in there, and then there was a military coup that was an anti-Soviet government. So the Soviets ran in and said, all right, we want to put our own government back in.
Uh-huh.
Right? And that's basically why they invaded. They wanted their government in there.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking about, like, you know, why, you know, about doing things like that, like implanting your own type of government into a foreign country. And then I thought, why don't we get all the South American nations to boycott the Los Angeles Olympics because we invaded Grenada?
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Or we invaded the Dominican Republic, or, you know, we're about to invade Nicaragua. Yeah.
It's now permanent.
Uh-huh.
Permanent military base in Honduras.
Well, what do you think of the distinction made where we didn't invade Grenada, we went on a rescue mission to save these students that were in grave peril?
They didn't want
to
leave.
They didn't want
to
leave,
They weren't being asked to be rescued. It was only when they were put on the planes and the CIA flew them back, they were told to tell the U.S. public to, you know, that they wanted to be rescued. But they weren't asking to be rescued.
Where did you hear they were told?
Where did I hear? From one of the students.
Uh-huh.
One of the students was on McNeil Lehrer Report the second or third night after he was back.
Uh-huh.
And he said that the CIA debriefed him and told him to tell the U.S. public that they wanted to get out.
The CIA was on the plane?
Well, I'm not sure if it was... I'm thinking it was the CIA.
Uh-huh.
Who... But a government official, a government organization, debriefed the students while they were in the air, flying back to whatever Air Force base they landed in, Virginia or something, to tell the U.S. population that they wanted to get out. But 4 days before the invasion, there was a shortwave radio operator, a U.S. student in a medical school.
Uh-huh.
And he was just talking by shortwave with his family or friends or something like that in the United States. And he said that they didn't want to leave. They weren't worried. That they weren't being bothered in the medical school.
Yeah.
The government was going through their upheavals, but the medical school wasn't being bothered with it. I mean, there's a lot of really unkosher things that went on with that invasion.
Uh-huh.
You know, just... So I'm calling for a South American boycott of the Los Angeles Olympics.
Well, if any...
The U.S. Invasion of Grenada.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You guys stand on that.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye. Interesting theory. Should we boycott the Olympics that are held in a country that has done something wrong? Is there any country that hasn't done something wrong? Is there any country that wouldn't think of invading someplace to protect its borders, even if a little tiny country like Grenada doesn't really threaten our border all that much? Give us a call, 246-7901. USB, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, I'd like to say that I did have to listen to a lot of rings, and I was put on hold, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I think our person fell asleep or something, but
okay,
he's awake now.
I just wanted to bring up a point that no one's really mentioned about the Olympic situation here. Is that this is the first Olympics where they're testing for drugs, and with a country like East Germany, the longest event is women swimming, if I remember right.
Uh-huh.
And there's no doubt that they take steroids. So I thought that might be something no one has brought up, really.
Is this something that the Olympics are doing or that the United States is doing?
Well, this year the United States is going to test for drugs.
Uh-huh. And is this a new policy or is it just for this one time?
First time it's being done in the Olympics.
Will it be...
Steroids are a major drug that enhances performance.
Uh-huh.
Communist bloc countries are well known for using that, and consequently a lot of U.S. athletes, just to compete, have to take them also, and I think that's the main reason that they're banning them. You know, they have all kinds of sophisticated equipment now, and it's costing a lot of money, but...
So do you think that was a motivating factor?
I think it didn't take very much for a country like East Germany to drop out.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Okay, take care.
Take it easy.
USB, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I would just like to remark about the comments about Grenada a few moments ago.
Sure.
It sounds like the person is a little bit misguided.
Uh-huh.
The students that were there were afraid, and they were glad to be flown out. I don't know which student that he talked to, but the student that I talked to,
yeah,
was in an area where there was shooting going on. People were being taken out of their houses and shot. I just disagree with the person's point of view that we went in there and maliciously invaded.
Well, do you think it's possible that there was such a student who was dismayed at the U.S.'s action?
Well, first of all, they were going to medical school, and they were dismayed that their semester was interrupted. And that's what they were afraid of. I mean, if their semester is interrupted, I mean, they were right about to take exams.
Uh-huh.
I mean, who wants to have their exams interrupted? They're trying to study, okay?
I don't know. Ask some people around here. I think you'll find a vast majority.
Yeah, well, not if you've been trying to get into medical school.
Uh-huh.
And you finally found a place to go to.
Yeah. It's just what I'm trying to say is that it's possible to find the group of people that will say anything, that will say they're happy, that will say they're not happy. You know, it's hard to categorize. I think there are probably people who were happy, and there are probably people who weren't happy, just as there are in any group of people. What do you think of the action itself, though?
Well, I'm not particularly prepared to comment on that.
Uh-huh.
I was just commenting on this person's viewpoint.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. We have time for one more call, and this is it. USB, you're on the air.
Hello, yes. You asked, you were wondering if anyone had an answer to your question about why Mexico was not alarmed about the Nicaraguans. And their
export.
Yeah, well, I guess the main reason is that Mexico itself is a borderline communist state. Its government is very far left socialist, and in fact, the labor union infrastructure of the Soviet of the Mexicans is completely dominated by the communists, and they control the vital oil production of the Mexican economy. The fact is that the government of Mexico leans very strongly towards the efforts of Nicaragua in the first place.
Well, now, if that's true, why are we friendly to Mexico? Why aren't we doing the same thing to them that we're doing to Nicaragua?
Why are we friendly to Mexico?
Why aren't we mining their harbors?
That really doesn't contradict it. One reason may be that Mexico isn't actively exporting subversion into the Central American states.
And Nicaragua is?
Definitely. Well, certainly.
Uh-huh. How are they exporting it?
Well, I think that they seem to be doing it by means of overland arms shipments.
Overland to where?
Well, to El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, Bolivia.
Well, it seems, I don't know how they would get it to El Salvador because of...
Well, you're talking logistics. I think the facts pretty well speak for themselves. I mean, there's been a great deal of investigation into it, and then the evidence of it is really overwhelming, and it's only a willful propaganda ploy to really ignore the facts and to sort of force the United States into an inactive position, that the Nicaraguans and the Cubans and the Soviets can have a more or less free hand in undermining the governments in that region.
Well, now whatever Nicaragua is doing, let's say they are transporting arms to different countries.
Well, they're doing much more than that. The fact is that they're actually controlling the operations of the Salvadoran rebels.
Uh huh. Okay, let's say they're doing that too.
Managua is functioning as a headquarters and a logistics operation base for the El Salvador rebels, and
okay, but isn't Washington D.C. acting as a central base for all the Contras and for all the rightist governments?
Well, unfortunately, it really isn't quite doing that. I mean, I think you're talking a situation where, you know, a great deal of hysteria is being generated over really what is a very limited involvement by the United States. The figures that President Reagan gave last night, I mean, the Soviets and the Cubans are pouring massive amounts of armaments and equipment and providing organizational and operational assistance on a scale which is perhaps 20-1 what we're doing.
Well, look, I'm very sure we could discuss this for a long time. In fact, maybe we'll talk about it next week, but right now we're out of time.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I am too. But thanks for calling, and why don't you call back again next week? We can start off and talk about this for a while.
Hope I answered your question.
Okay, bye. We will be back next week talking about anything that comes to mind, and that could very well be one of them. I'm Eric Corley. This has been the Ministry of Truth. Stay tuned for Curtain Up here on WUSB Stony Brook.
The Ministry of Truth.
WUSB Stony Brook.
Another opening, another show in Philly, Boston, or Baltimore. A chance for stage.